Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Welcome to the show. Today I'm doing another episode around World Autism Acceptance Week, which is following on from my previous chat with Heather Tingle in the last episode. And today I'm covering my own diagnosis and journey of discovery for my ASD and autism. So I hope it's useful to understand the steps I've been through and to shine a light on my personal experience. I'll pop some links in the show notes to signpost you to some places where you can learn more about autism if you'd like to find out more. Now today I have Kim Rain, who is an ADHD mind, body and confidence coach with me. And I have known Kim for nearly a year now, and I've recorded a previous episode where we did talk all things ADHD. But today I've invited Kim on because I'm going to talk about something a little bit more personal and close to home. And it's about a diagnosis that I've been exploring this last year. And it's come about mainly through conversations that I've had with Kim. So Kim, firstly, hello, welcome to this week's podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm excited that you're doing this, Caro. I'm excited.
And I'm very nervous.
But it's a landmark thing for you, isn't it? It's the part of the journey. So
I don't want to make this sound overly dramatic.
No, it isn't overly. So for me, I started coaching you via the Destination Inspiration Mastermind. So I was doing some coaching for the guys in there, for Lisa, and we started talking, and I could just was picking up that there was some stuff, and you started having a look, didn't you? Had you thought about it before then, ADHD?
I don't think I thought about it for myself so much. I think looking back now, I feel I'd always thought I was different. I don't want to say the words a bit special because that makes it sound a bit bizarre, but I think I'd always been focusing on, I've always worked for myself. I don't think I'm very employable. I've got lots of traits and characteristics which make me a square peg, and I don't fit into that round hole. But I think the last 5 or 6 years, where I've really been focusing on making Pocket PA, which has been a real uphill, pushing water uphill challenge, I've come across lots of things, and I've been making it for my son and daughter who have dyscalculia and dyspraxia, but it had never, ever, I've never turned the light inwards to look at anything that might be, as I say in air quotes, special about me or different. But having these conversations with you over the last year, working with different people in our mastermind group, where I feel much more aligned with like-minded people, but also very characteristically people that aren't neurotypical, I think, and we've discussed this a number of times, has really taken me down this avenue. And one of the things that was interesting, because whenever we talked about ADHD, as I say, my typical perspective was that people with ADHD were those teenage boys on, you know, troublemakers at school, because they'd always been pigeonholed into that way. And so I'd always shied away thinking that's what ADHD was. And the hyperactivity didn't relate to me. Yes, I'm always on the go. But for me, I have a gazillion tabs open in my brain all of the time. And that was one of the things that you brought to light for me, was one of the things that women often have as a trait for ADHD. However, there were some things which you spoke about which didn't resonate at all about the disorganization. I was, in fact, completely the opposite. I'm hyper-organized, hyper-structured, very much disciplined in all of my sort of activities every day, which took me down some research into looking at neurodiversity and looking at the autism area. And that was something that we had talked about and I wanted to explore. But through the NHS, there were huge waiting lists and a lot of stress on resources, which you had warned me about. So I looked at going into how I could have it investigated privately. I did some tests and had some assessments. And is that something that you've ever gone down a private route of assessment for ADHD or ASD for any of your clients?
So I have clients that go down all of the routes. So, you know, you can either go via the NHS, which, as we spoke about last time, can be very long waiting lists, really difficult to get thing. But if that's your route and that's your option, only option, then still do it, you know, absolutely still do it. And then there's the right to choose. And Right to Choose is the kind of like a private service within the NHS that's free. And that cuts waiting lists down to between 6 to 12 months, I think, at the moment. And then there's the private diagnosis. And so for each client, it's different into where they are and what's going on for them. Without a doubt, a private diagnosis is more thorough. Although I spoke to somebody the other day, and actually I've spoken to a few people that have had still not great, times having a private diagnosis. It's still been a bit below par, but it's very anecdotal, you know, with regards to diagnosis. You don't go and have a brain scan. You don't go and, you know, there's not a blood test. It's just.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how detailed it was, because I think for me, firstly, I wanted it for my own. People asked me why are you doing it? People that I'd shared the information with. And I said, you know, they'd said, why do you want to label yourself? What's going to be the benefit? Why do you want to tell people? And I said, I don't need to tell anybody. This is about something for me to understand myself better, because if for any reason it does come back where they do suggest that I am in that category of having autism or some other different thing that they have identified, then perhaps I will start to firstly be a bit more compassionate and understand myself. Oh, you do XYZ because of ABC. And so that was a really important thing that I went into the diagnosis being open-minded about. I didn't read any books, or I didn't want to start by, you know, researching it and then becoming that person that I was reading in the book. So it was really important for me not to know in as much detail, which is something that is one of my characteristics, that I hyper-focus, go in, research and know every single thing about it. But I went in as blindly as I could, having only had these conversations with yourself with an open mind. And the very first appointment was just a threshold appointment, where it was a discussion where we talked about things for just over an hour and a half. And I think that was sort of the filtering criteria, because clearly they don't want to be putting people through the quite expensive process if they haven't done some sort of filtering out to check there were some markers, which in that hour and a half conversation, there was enough discussed, which at the end of it, they said, yes, there's definitely things that you have recounted and recollected and shared with us that would warrant us exploring it further. So after that, I then moved into the sort of, there was a 5-stage process, which I was surprised that there were so many things. And that ranged from online, I want to say tests, but they were sort of just questionnaires and assessments and things which they collated. I then had a one-to-one interview and conversation. I then had a family member that was interviewed to get information about how I act outside of, you know, an interview room or what I'm recollecting. So they were asking lots and lots of varied questions about how I respond, how I behave, you know, interactions with different family members, people, and just to try and build up a full and thorough picture. And then we had another formal assessment where there were two people and there was an observer and an interviewer effectively. So I was having a conversation with one person and they were then looking at lots of nonverbal behaviours and cues and things that I was or wasn't picking up and how I was interacting, which was fascinating, sort of realizing that I was going through all of these stages. And then there was a further interview with more questions and conversational information sharing. And then we came together to sort of unpack all of those steps. Does that sound familiar to what some of your other clients have been through, either privately or non-privately?
Yeah, I think it is a bit more elongated with the ASD route slightly, but that what you've just described is very similar as well with the ADHD route. So You know, it is about taking your history. It's about taking history from a family member, and then bringing that all together and, you know, going into a diagnosis. There is a test that some clients, and the name of it escapes me now, but it literally is a really boring test where you sit and, you know, you do it on a computer screen, and it's designed to be quite boring, but it actually is looking at where your eyes are going during that test. And those clients that have done it have said, oh, yeah, it's quite hard. But that's something that's used. But, you know, I've not heard of that used out of a private setting, and I haven't heard of it used in all private settings. But, yeah, you know, a lot of it is anecdotal. It's a lot of speaking. It's a lot of going through stuff. And in that sense, it can be really quite an emotional experience.
100%. So I have found it to be a really emotional roller coaster, just recounting and recollecting and unpacking all of the things I think that I have found really either massively confusing over my life, or things that have shaped my personality into, you know, I have a lot of loops that I go into. I have a lot of counting that goes on in my head, which is all behind this facade that nobody ever sees or has any access to knowing about. And I have lots of patterns, lots of routines, lots of systems. Everything in my life is organized into these compartments, which on the surface isn't visible, but everything is going on, as I say, behind the scenes. And, you know, that was one of the things I found fascinating when I started talking to you about this masking. And I'm, I think, incredibly good at masking, looking perhaps super confident on the outside, and yet inside it's that swan madly paddling under the surface and yet looking incredibly composed on the top, which often isn't the case.
No, and I think actually, you know, what you talk about there is, and that's how I could see that within you, because I, you know, I was your mindset coach, and so I was coaching you, so I was seeing behind that. You know, we were talking about stuff in your business, and I remember the first call that we came on, if you don't mind me just talking about it, but we came on and you went, right, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And you listed out that you'd done most of the, you know, resources available that you would kind of, most people would be drip feeding over there. And I could just get this sense from behind of what was going on, because as a coach, you get to see behind the scenes, you know, you get to see that thing. Otherwise, you know, that's coaching. And so I could see what was going on underneath the mask, but for everyone else, you know, and that's so many women, particularly so many women.
And it was so interesting when I went back, I was actually really anxious and nervous about the final sort of meeting together, because I was thinking, you know, again, I've been pretending, I've been making all this stuff up, and, you know, she's going to say to me, well, thank you, it's been lovely to chat and have all these different conversations, and we've put them all together, and you're just, you know, a really mixed up sort of person, and, you know, you don't fit into any of the categories, nothing is. And I went back and she said, there's no question that you are, that you have autism, and that you are on what they would call, I think there's a term, Asperger's, and there are definitely, I don't know if that's an old fashioned term, but for me, autism always was similar to what I remembered watching on Rain Man, where he was able to count how many matches fell out of a box. And I thought, God, I don't have any of those magic skills or tricks or whatever. I'm not that sort of autistic. I don't have autism, because I can't do that. But I do have a photographic memory, not for those sorts of things, but an incredibly sharp ability to recollect things from, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago sometimes. And it's astonishing what I have compartmentalized and have access to. But when she gave me that information, it sort of felt like a huge relief that all the things that I had been fighting against and thinking, what the hell is wrong with you? Why do you keep doing that? Why are you having to say the same thing in seven different ways? Because the person heard you the first time, and yet I couldn't get out of my own loop and get out of my own way with some of the things that I had. And that is because I am neurodiverse and have autism, or I'm on a spectrum, and they call it high functioning, as opposed to somebody that has learning disabilities, which I don't like the idea that there's a hierarchy, or one is, it's just a difference.
And it's a spectrum, isn't it? It
100%.
And you know, we're all on that spectrum. Like my a friend of mine, I used to share an office with a lady who ran a or still runs a business positive autism support and training, and she dealt with children with autism, and it was a real eye opener for me to really learn what autism was, because again, once again, it was not what I believed it to be. And the way she described it was, you know, that spectrum is like our eyesight. Some of us need reading glasses, some of us need, you know, contact lenses, some of us need, you know, it's that spectrum. We're not all blind, we're not all some of us just need glasses sometimes. And so it's very much understanding that and where you are on that spectrum. But I think you said something in the beginning and have said, you know, like that you always felt that you were special, and you were a bit embarrassed saying that, but actually I love that, because there is so many special qualities that you have, and that, you know, we're all different human beings, we're all different, and whether you are neurotypical, neurodiverse, what your sexuality, your color, your creed, your all of these different things, you know, we're just all different. And you know, I think that
I wasn't meaning that special as in like I am better or elitist in special. I kind of suppose I meant that special as in I was a bit different. Yeah. And
but what a great word though is that there are things about you that are special. There are talents and traits that you have that other people look at, Caro, and just think, I wish I could do that. Like when you talk about being, you know, super organized, I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to be a bit of that.
But I think that was what, you know, to have made a software platform like Pocket PA, I look back now and I think if I wasn't neurodiverse, would I ever have bothered getting started? Because it has been a huge mountain to climb, but it didn't even occur to me. There was nothing firing up in my brain that made me realize what a huge challenge and task I was actually undertaking to move into something that I had no background knowledge. And I know people thought I was bonkers at the time, and they probably still do. You know, I'm a woman of a certain age moving into an arena of software where I've never written a line of code and never planned to. And yet I embarked on making this product, this tool for Megan, because I wanted to help her. And that's just such an odd thing for somebody to just go in. Most people would make do with what was there. But I thought, oh, no, how hard can that be? That's a lot of naivety, which comes around perhaps that autism aspect of my personality.
And your drive and perseverance around getting Pocket PA, you know, where it is today. And also, you know, I think what you've done with Pocket PA, what I see it's been is it is the perfect tool for business owners with ADHD and possibly autism as well, you know, but certainly from an ADHD point of view, you've created the tool that, you know, I suppose for you, it's a bit of a download of your brain, because that's how
I look back now and think what a perfect match it has been for me. This 5-year journey has been perfect to sort of draw in all of my strengths and deliver them out in a way that my son and daughter can absorb that information with their dyscalculia and dyslexia. But to the outside person, you know, it might seem like a bonkers thing. I've made this tool with no experience or background, but now the other traits in my autism where I've always put down to I'm incredibly shy and I'm introverted, I find it difficult to communicate the marketing message because I don't have those skill sets. I'm missing those communication patterns and things which are so obvious to neurotypical people, perhaps, that are connectors and extroverts and things. And those are my sort of blind spots those have created the challenges for my personality to be able to then market and reach out to all of the people that I want to find Pocket PA and use Pocket PA to let them help their business. I've had those challenges as a neurodiverse person in this arena of marketing.
But I think that that's why as well, getting things like a diagnosis so you really understand yourself helps. And also, you know, we have to get back to the point is whatever we do, it's okay. You can do business your way. And look how well look how well the podcast's doing. And I can tell that that's somewhere where you feel quite in flow and comfortable, I would say. Would you say you're quite comfortable? You know,
I think because I'm not being seen, I find it very difficult switching a camera on. I find it very difficult talking to groups of people. I'm very much in my own head on those sorts of things. I'm very much wanting to pick up on other people's cues to find out how they're responding and reacting. I don't know if I'm overreacting or underreacting quite often, and I have to take my lead from other people, which is really annoying because I feel I don't have that control.
And then also what happens with that is that gets mixed with our perception. of what, you know, what we think the people are thinking. And so, and that's what very often happens with people who have lived with undiagnosed, you know, autism, ADHD, and other, you know, other neurodiversities, is that actually, you know, they're so used to masking, and they're so used to looking at other people to gauge how they should behaving or how they are behaving, that they lose sight of who they are and what's right for them. And actually, the more that we can get back to us, and the more that we can look at what's right for us and do what's right for us, you know, like I say, with the podcast, case in point is this is the right thing for you to do. You're comfortable here. Whereas when you try and do other things, and then that ends up, we freeze and then we don't do anything. So I just think it's so important for us all as entrepreneurs and business owners and in business to actually tune into what works for us.
And to find the right medium to communicate, because I know for many, many years I've always come across as very standoffish and quite abrupt, very overly direct. And that's one of the things that I find difficulty in softening things, in remembering to have those niceties and those soft skills. I seem to be missing that gene or those abilities. And so people think I'm very abrupt and harsh and rude, quite often rude, when in fact I actually don't have that skill set. And I've had to really learn to not be nicer, but in certain situations to not be so sharp and things. Yeah. But I feel like this diagnosis has helped enable me to think, you know what, stop being so hard on yourself, find things that are a better fit.
I think as well, again, it's having that diagnosis that's allowed you to think of those things and to even think, okay, actually, I know there's certain situations that I go into that I'm going to find more challenging than others. And actually, rather than looking at other people at how to behave, how do I want to behave? How would I like to behave? So that, yeah, you are still maybe doing a bit of twisting and turning and making yourself, you're still that square peg trying to fit in that round hole, because you know you want to do well in business, you want to fit into society, etc. But actually you can start thinking about how you want to behave and how's best for you, rather than looking around at other people thinking that they are the people that have got it right. And I think that a diagnosis helps you look more internally as to who you are and start to accept that who you are as well.
And you know, it's come full circle that there are lots of things that are positives about coming out of it. And I don't feel that it's a bad thing. I feel like I can understand myself a lot better. So thank you, Kim. I just want to really say thank you, because without you this last year, I probably would never have shone this light on an area that I have really struggled with for, you know, 5 decades. It's not been like a few months or a few years. It's been in my whole lifetime. It's not something that's just cropped up. But yeah, so thank you. So
congratulations on getting to this point with it, because it's definitely.
I think I will start to talk more about it now. I don't want it to be in the dark, because it's not something I want to be ashamed of, or for people to think, oh, there's that woman with that thing. It's much more common.
For future generations and other women. And, you know, the more that we talk about it and the more that we shy away from this idea of having a label, you know, my tagline is lose the label, wear the badge, because ultimately there's so much to celebrate about it. But if we don't talk about it, no one's going to see the brilliance that's there, because
there are lots of upsides to it. It does enable lots of doors to be opened. So thank you. And I don't have anywhere to send people today. Normally I send guests to different links and things, but I have nothing today. To just thank you for listening. And yes, if you found this helpful, please just leave a review and leave a comment to just say that we're all in this together. So thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Brilliant.
And thank you everyone for listening, and please join me again for another episode next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.